This morning, Brother Tim was talking about, you know, singing a hymnal. So I told Bob, I said, well, I might sing one tonight. So we're going to try it. Y'all help me out up there. We can't hear y'all. No? Huh? Huh? Was y'all singing? Leaning on everlasting arms.
Praise the Lord. It's on. Sounds like it's on. See if I can get over here without screaking. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. The Bible says where there's two or more, he's bound to show up. Glory to God. So God's bound to be here. Amen. So I expect the Holy Ghost to do what he is going to do, whether there be a few or many. Thank all of you all that are joining by the internet tonight to hear this word that I believe the Lord has given me to give to you also. Father, we just thank you for this time to be in your presence tonight. Thank you for the power of your word, for the anointing of that word to destroy every yoke in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're so grateful and so blessed to be in your house tonight, Lord, to be breathing and to be well and to be alive. Lord, I thank you for the anointing of your word again. I thank you for anointing this vessel of clay to bring forth that which I believe that you have laid on my heart tonight. That we leave this place tonight and be able to say, it is surely good to be in the house of the Lord. It's surely good to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters. And we thank you for that tonight. And the church said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to talk about a subject tonight, or maybe a word, I should say, about hope. I'll never forget one time several years ago, a lady had mentioned to me, and she was a Christian, and she said, you know, I don't like that word hope. It's just a word of dread. I just hope. And, you know, for those people that may not know the word of really what hope means, or maybe those that aren't saved doesn't really know what the word means. But for those that are saved, and know the word and begin to understand the word, know that that word hope is the only thing that gets us through. Amen? Anybody out there tonight? The Romans 15:13 tells us, says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, you abound in hope. Psalms 25:3 tells us, no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. And then Psalms 42:5 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and God. So when we think about that word hope, it means to desire something with confident expectation of its fulfillment. Now, you know, some people are optimistic by nature. That's just their temperament. And then we've got those that are pessimistic. That's just their temperament. And we all have personality and temperaments that we have to have the Holy Spirit to refine. Amen. Hey, glory to God. And to be delivered from some things. So, but it's a natural temperament of people to be one way or the other. You know, we've got those that sees a rose bush, but they see nothing but the thorns. And then we've got others that sees a rose bush, and they don't see the thorns. They see the roses. We've got some people that sees a half glass of water, and some people see a half-empty glass of water. Anybody know where I'm going? So we've got those two type of people. We've got those that see the dark side of every cloud, while the other looks for the silver lining. Glory to God. So one person, as I said, sees a glass half full, and the other one sees a glass half empty. But the hope I'm talking about tonight, the genuine hope that I'm talking about, can never be based on our personal temperaments, cannot be based on how we may or may not see things according to our particular temperament. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about. Because a lot of people go around saying, I have hope. But to them, you know, it may be a word of dread. It's not wishful thinking. Amen. It's not wanting something maybe to happen. You know, that's hope according to the world. But I'm talking about the hope that is based on our trust in Jesus Christ and his word. So if we're a person who hope has no real basis other than just general optimistic spirit that maybe it'll happen or wishful thinking that it happened according to our temperaments, then we're holding on to something that is empty, that is hopeless, that is blind, that is deaf, that is dumb. That's not the hope that we're to have as spirit-filled children of God, as Christians. So the hope that I'm talking about, the temperament is not in its origin. Amen? So the hope is what separates those of us that are born again from those that are of the world. Because they hope according to wishful thinking, and it may or may not work out. But for those of us that are born again and spirit-filled, it's a different kind of hope. So this kind of hope is no matter the circumstances. You know that song we says, no matter what, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, you know, but it's based on our covenant with God. Ephesians 2:12 says, before you knew Jesus, you were without Christ or without the anointing. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So our hope is based on our covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, the covenant that we have with God. And it's that anointing that's within us. It's what carries out those covenant promises. So our hope is based on the promises of what God has already said. It's yes and amen. So how do we maintain that hope? Keep the word before your eyes and before your ears. Meditate in the law of the word both day and night. And then begin to build that image on the inside of you. Your imagination is given to you. Amen. Your imagination is a God-given thing. We have to, along with that hope, we have to begin to see ourselves prosperous, to see ourselves as a child of God, to see ourselves healed. Hope based on the word. So how do we maintain that hope? Keeping the word before our eyes. Hope comes when we begin to see ourselves as what God has promised us instead of seeing yourself without it. You know, we get to the place in the word so much and be so full of the word that I can't help but see myself healed. To me, there is no other option but to be healed. Amen. There's no other option but to be prosperous. So that's getting the image of what you know God has said. And then nobody, no matter what anybody else does or what anybody else says, amen, that's just the way it is. That, I mean, you can't be talked out of it kind of hope. Amen. So hope comes when you begin to see yourself with what God has promised you instead of seeing yourself without it. Glory to God. Philippians 1:19 says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation or my deliverance or my hope through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So Paul uses two different words here from the Greek language. And each one of these words can be translated hope. One of them means the happy anticipation of good. And the other can be defined as eager, longing, a strained expectancy, watching with an outstretched head, an abstraction from anything else that might engage the attention of. You know, that's like a child waiting for the parent to come and get him. You know, they're constantly looking for that mother, that father to walk through the door. You know, anticipation, eagerly waiting. That's how we should be with the promises of God. Amen. Eagerly waiting for that manifestation to happen. Why? Because we've already got an image of it in our spirit. We already see ourselves, and there's no other way to see it but how God says that it should be. So hope is a supernatural expectation, not the world's expectation of wishful thinking, I said, or wishful desperation that it might be. It already is, church. It already is. So we have to come into agreement with the covenant promises of God that it's yes and amen. So we heard the saying, you know, a long time around here, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles, you know. Sometimes we let words slip by, sometimes we forget about them. But we need to begin to say, you know, hope, expectation. Expectation is breeding ground for a miracle. And begin to expect God to show up at any time to do what he said he was already going to do. Begin to expect, allow hope to become part of you again. Expectation. The opposite of expectation or hope is eye-opener. It's anticipation, belief, expectation, expectancy, bated breath that God could show up any time. Hallelujah. And that manifestation of what he's promised you could happen any time. You know, just like we're expecting him to split the eastern sky, we should be that great with eager expectation that he's going to do what he promised he could do, you know. Glory to God. So how do we maintain hope in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of turmoil and every report that is opposite of what the Word says? A person without this hope, though, is wide open to the enemy's lie that life's not worth living. That's the world's kind of hope. That's the world's kind of desperation. And we can go back to the battleground is in the mind. Amen. That's all where it starts at, church. So many of Satan's battles against us happen in the mind. And he can also bombard our thoughts with lies and doubts. And so what this does, a little bit at a time, begins to whittle away at our confidence and against our hope. But perhaps the devil's most subtle strategy against the church is the news. Amen. And the radio and TV that you don't even have to sit down and watch. You can go into department stores. You can go into Walmart. And very few places are playing anything that's Christian. And pretty soon you're leaving that store and you're tapping your foot to the tune you just heard when you listened to it years ago before you got saved. You know, so we have to be aware of those things that Satan, what he influences us with the media and advertisement and music and stuff like that, that's continually playing in the background wherever we go. But I fear least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So our hope is the salvation of the Lord, not only in initial salvation that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but we are into an ongoing salvation, because salvation is just doesn't happen when we get saved and we accept Jesus Christ. We are continually being delivered, or we should be. The more we sit on the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of things, so we none of us have got there yet. Amen. If we did, we wouldn't none be here. We'd be in heaven with the Lord. Amen. So we are constantly should be being delivered and getting over ourselves. and walking through things, we shouldn't be the same in our relationship with God as we were 6 months ago if we are sitting under the Word and allowing that Word to change us. So our hope is in the salvation of the Lord, not only in His initial salvation from sin, but His continuing salvation from the power of sin that wants to captivate us, to keep us from our hope in God. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So it's very important that we continue in hope for the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says in Titus and 1 Corinthians that we have hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That we may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. So He tells us to put on. It's something that we do. So just as the breastplate of righteousness guards the heart, the helmet of salvation, or there's another part of the word says that helmet of hope guards the mind. This helmet can also be called the hope of salvation. So we're to put on that helmet of hope, that helmet of salvation that guards our mind. How does this helmet of salvation guard a Christian's mind? By getting into the Word and knowing what the Word says, by providing hope, So, you know, have you ever been in the midst of standing in faith and you're believing God for something and you're quoting the Word and you have someone agreeing with you and you're agreeing with the Word and you're just like that energizer bunny you see on TV. You just go. You know, and all at once it's like you go blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's ever been there. Amen. It's like your faith just quit working. But I got good news. If you are agreeing and you're standing on the Word, your faith hasn't quit working. What's happened is you've began to lose hope because you have not began to see or experience what you've been believing God for. Amen. It's not that your faith has wavered. It's your hope that has wavered. It's your hope. So I like to refer hope to it's like the eye of faith. It's what keeps you aimed at what you are believing God for. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it may not have what happened when you wanted it to or how you wanted it to. It's that your hope began to dwindle. So instead of being like the Energizer Bunny, just keep on, you're going blah, 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 and it's your hope. But see, the enemy comes in, he begins to do the same lie that he did with Eve. If God said, if God's promises were this, if God, then our hope begins to waver. So we have to go back and we have to begin to imagine ourselves building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And getting that hope built back into us that says, if God said it, then it's bound to happen because I'm bound to the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it's bound to happen. The Bible says in Psalms that hope deferred or hope that's put off or prolonged makes the heart sick. But then it goes on and says, a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So don't allow your hope to be deferred or to be put off, because it says it makes your heart, it makes your soul sick. So when your hope begins to dwindle, you say, where does my faith? You know, it's there. We've got to get back into the Word and begin to imagine ourselves being what God says we are and what we're believing Him for. As I said a while ago, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And real Bible hope, biblical hope, is not wishful thinking and it's not desperation. I don't come to God in desperation. I come to God based on His covenant promises and coming into agreement with what He's already said. Are there times that I'm not desperate and I don't feel desperate? And God may answer those desperate prayers because he's God and I'm not. But I come to Him based on the fact that I'm in a covenant relationship with Him. And I know He's already upheld His end of the deal. Amen. And so He's just wanting me to uphold my end of the deal by keeping my faith and aimed at and my hope aimed at what I know He's already promised. Amen. So we come to Him out of not wishful thinking, But if you're born again by the blood of Jesus, you're in a covenant relationship of the creator of this universe, where he says that all of his promises are yes and amen. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says or when anybody else does. Sooner or later, the doubters are going to be proven wrong. Amen. And we are going to get out of here one day, and they really will be. Really will see that they've been proven wrong. Amen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not desperation or wishful thinking. And this kind of hope the Word of God talks about, it's not based on that, but it's based on that covenant promise of Jesus Christ. As I was getting this word together, you know me, I don't do anything long, but you will leave here tonight knowing that you have hope. But I do have a word tonight that I remember God had given me, and I never shared it with anybody, and it's about a year ago, and it went along with this message that God gave me tonight, of this teaching. So I want you to stand, and I'm going to read you this word, and I want you to allow it to sink into your spirit tonight. But it goes along with Psalms, the scripture that I read in Psalms about why have you become disquieted within me. You know, I found out the enemy wants you to do one thing. That's either to be quiet and not say anything or to say stupid stuff. The devil never likes a middle of the ground person because there's strength in the middle of the road. Amen. But this word, it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why have you become disquieted or uneasy or wearied within? Rise up with the voice of triumph, for I, the Lord God, shall deliver you and indeed set you on high places. Be not fearful or dismayed, distressed, sad, or troubled. I will cause you to rise again, and your voice shall be a prophetic ring in the ears of a people who have become dismayed or discouraged. Sound the alarm for my holy mountain. Sound loud and clear that I am the Lord your good God, and will draw with cords of love a people unto me who have become disheartened and discouraged and lost hope. So look up, though there may be distractions, but in me you will have a safe place, a quiet place, and a confident place of who you are in me. For I have and will continue to have a people that will serve me wholeheartedly and whose hope is in me and my word alone. They will cling to me, and I will deliver them in the day of trouble. And they shall say, surely my God has delivered again, and he will again, and he will again and again. Let hope be rekindled in you again as you look through the eye of faith and see me in all my glory. And my glory shall surround you, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. See as I would see, and let my word be the force that directs your path, and it will never fail you, says the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for that word tonight. Lord, we just take a moment now to worship you and allow that to sink into our spirits. And Lord, for those that are tonight that are in this place, or those that are under the sound of my voice, I speak that prophetic word to them again, that they will rise again. They will rise again. Though they have been knocked down, they will rise again by the help of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you will cause them to see as you would see. And I thank you for drawing them to you with cords of love, that they cannot resist, Father. That they see themselves healed. That they see themselves whole. And I thank you that the anointing of your word destroys every yoke in the name of Jesus. And they will be and they will do what you have said they are and that you have called them to do. And I thank you, Father, that out of that place there will be a voice that rings loud and clear, that Jesus saves. That Jesus saves. Lord, we just thank you that you're in this place right now. And there's no distance in your word. But I come against every sickness, every lie of the enemy says that you cannot be well. It's not the truth. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. You are healed from blindness. You are healed from deafness. in the name of Jesus. And I speak to that one tonight whose kidneys are failing. I speak to the kidneys to be restored in the name of Jesus and to begin to function in your body like God designed them to. I speak to the acids that are causing this kidney failure to be supernaturally removed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the report that says you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, for that one tonight that has been having trouble in their feet, that's all I hear is trouble in your feet, that has caused you much pain and much distress and much distress. I speak for whatever's causing that to be removed in the name of Jesus. I bind the hand of the enemy in this, and I say be free to walk, not only to walk, but to run. In Jesus' name, I speak to your feet to be whole, for your feet to be whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for the healing power of your word. Thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed. That we are healed. That we are healed, God. We see ourselves not sick, but healed and whole in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. There is a very strong healing anointing of God that's flowing right now. Thank you, Father God. Hope to be in you again, to believe God for that miracle. Where the doctor said that you'll be on this medication the rest of your life. Don't quit taking the medication because of what I am saying. But trust and lean on the Holy Spirit. And as he begins to do a restoration in your body, you'll know when it's time to stop. You'll know when it's time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For every blood condition, I speak life back to that blood. I speak life back to that blood in the name of Jesus. That it begins to flow through your arteries. And it begins to flow through the places that it's supposed to be to flow through with ease. Every blood disease in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If you're here tonight and you want to be anointed with oil, I ask you to come forth right now. If you want to be healed, if you want the healing power of God to come upon you and to be healed, there is a very strong anointing right now of healing in this place. And if you want God to minister healing to you, the Holy Spirit to minister healing to you, I encourage you to come right now. I want to anoint you with oil. And I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Every person under the sound of my voice, receive this anointing right now in the name of Jesus. If it's just a point of contact, lay your hand in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for hope coming back to that person, God, that's been laying there for so long. Thank you for that hope entering them again that they can be healed, that they can be whole again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shaye, Nalani, Combre, to Sondo, Shema, Mamahaya. Be healed in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet to the tip of your fingers, I command healing to come into your body right now. In the name of Jesus, be whole. There it is. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, Brother Bob is healed. In the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, I thank you for the healing power of God. Oh, Shondododea. Flowing through him right now, God. Now, Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit. Yes, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the healing power of God flowing through my sister, God. I curse every generation thing that's been laid upon her, that it's bound by the blood of Jesus, that she's born again. I thank you, Father God, that by your stripes she is healed, she is delivered and set free. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing over her, God. Healing over her, God. I thank you, Lord, that she sees herself no other way than healed. Now, in the name of Jesus, let it be, God. Let it be, Father. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I thank you for my sister. I thank you, Lord God, that she is the healed of the Lord. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, I thank you, God, that by your stripes she is healed and made whole. Thank you, Father, she sees herself as a healed woman of God in every part of her body. Yes, there it is. Oh, the anointing destroying every yoke in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that her mind is renewed. I thank you, God, that she is made whole and complete, Father God. Now in Jesus' name. Now in the name of Jesus. Healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Mind restored. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for my sister. Thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, she's made whole. I thank you that she is the healed of the Lord. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, you are renewing her, Father God. I thank you, God, that the best days are yet ahead for her, God. Oh, shoto re masutaya manila toma tela sito koreba shoto semamahaya. Oh, yananadilantamasia. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for renewing her, Father God, and restoring, God. I thank you for complete restoration, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that by your stripes she is healed. Thank you, Father God, that she will run and she will not grow weary. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for my brother. I thank you, Father God, for the word that's within him, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, he is healed. He is made whole from the top of his head to the tip of his finger to the tip of his toes, God. I come against every attack of the enemy on his body. That he is the healed of the Lord. That he is the healed of the Lord. In Jesus' name, that your word, God, is operating in him. To bring to completion, God, every word. Every word, Father God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that she is healed. Lord, I thank you for your word that she is healed, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you for that anointing that's on her life, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the word that's been taught her, God. Holy Spirit, Oh, for your visitation upon her, God. For having ears always to hear you, God. And a heart to run after you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your healing flowing through her right now, God. In Jesus' name. Yes, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing power, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Gentle Holy Spirit. Yes, God, in the name of Jesus. You are healed. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for your report. For your report. For your report, God. There it is. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we worship you right now. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If you're listening tonight, just continue to worship God wherever you're at. Just continue to worship Him and thank Him for the manifestation of His healing power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship Him for who He is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to do something that you've never done before, whether it's bend over or to raise your hands or to sing or touch your ear and begin to hear again. Hallelujah. 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 My. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just hear the Holy Spirit also saying about the elbow. It's like it's been frozen in time for, I don't know whether it's an accident, if you were born that way. But it seems like that it's frozen and you cannot move it. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying the next few days, you're going to begin just to move that. It's not going to be a like pop and it's gone. But it's going to be a thing. You've even been told that it's irreversible. Whatever's caused it to be frozen in time like that, you've been spoken to by somebody that says it's irreversible. And you've kind of just walked around saying, well, okay, this is the way it is, but that's not the way it can be. Begin to see yourself using your arm again. Using your arm again. And as you begin to get that into your image into your mind, by faith that the substance of things hoped for, begin to use that arm. Begin to use that arm, and slowly that arm is going to be restored and brought back to use again. To use again. God is the God of restoration. And He is the God of the reversible, of what has been said is irreversible. Because He's God. Because He is God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tell somebody this week what the Lord has done for you. Tell somebody. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you. Anybody got a testimony before we leave?
Yes. What's she saying? What, honey? What means, honey? That what word? Oh yeah, what's something good God's done for you?
I don't really know.
He's done so much.
I'm guessing, give me a big farm.
Giving you a big farm? Well, that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing. Amen.
Lots of animals. Thank God for big farms. Uh-huh. She got her a goat. Amen. Amen. Does anybody else have a testimony? Anybody want to testify? Hallelujah. For the word that's in you. Amen. 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 Thank you all for coming tonight. You all have a blessed week. And see yourself as God sees you. No other way but healed, whole, and prosperous. Amen.